From Santa Monica, California, here is That Which Is with John Roger. That Which Is presented by MSIA, the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, a movement dedicated to awakening the spiritual heart within each of us. John Roger is the founder and spiritual advisor of MSIA, the founder and president of the Institute for Individual and World Peace, and other organizations for the purpose of improving people's lives. John Roger is a best-selling author, and he's been teaching and conducting seminars for many years. This seminar is entitled Part-Time Devotion for Full-Time Pay. Right after John Roger speaks, we'll tell you how you can obtain more information about the movement.
See, I'm of the personal opinion they should never divulge political results until the very last person in American protectorate or people where places where we can vote for our politicians. The very last vote is in and counted. Then it can be released nationwide. Because I've talked to a lot of people that after the results came in by New York and into Chicago, they decided they wouldn't vote because it wasn't worthwhile. What they do, they lost their integrity to put themselves and their spirit and their ego on the line of direction in which they want to accomplish the results in their life. Thinking takes time. Reaction is like this. I'll show you a fast reaction. Hey! You know, that's a reaction. There's very little thinking involved in it. It's mostly that you've been daydreaming someplace. It got boring up here, and I don't know why it should. Unless, of course, it just does. So are we doing part-time devotion to our own spirituality, wanting full-time pay? How many are doing that? Maybe I'm looking to see who's lying. That means your hand's not raised. Or you can look around and go, liar. But if you do that, you lack personal integrity because you don't know the reasons for the response. Long, long time ago, when I was working in Salt Lake City and I was out at the police firing range, they have indoor firing range, is one of the original ones. And so this one guy in the bullseye looked something like this. But before that was there, he would shoot into the paper. And then wherever he shot like that, then he'd just draw the circle. He got the marksmanship award. But I happened to work with him. And I said, and he was drinking coffee, and he was at the point we were doing night work, and that he was shaking, and coffee was being spilled around, and it was hot, and I could see it, and it would burn his hand. And I saw this, and he was just impervious to it. That's where I learned all my jokes. But he said, here's how I got it. I said, why don't you tell him? He says, nobody ever asked. I said, but does somebody have to ask you before you can give direction? I mean, if you see somebody lost, can't you ask them, do you need some assistance? I mean, aren't there ways where you can approach people and be of assistance without damaging them or delaying them or distracting them? Because a lot of times if you see somebody lost, the best thing to do is let them find their way out. Because they'll not go that way again. And that sort of equates right down here to this earth, right into this room, even into me. Often it's best not to tell them anything, because they will use that to beat themselves up. They'll use it. They get into judgments, they get into self-denial, I'm not that good, I'll never be good, nobody likes me, I don't have any friends. Well, if you're doing that, guess what you're focusing upon? Separation. Metaphysically, the big separator is the ball of power. So instead of us going to what could be the cause, we go to the effects of blaming somebody else for the negativity we're experiencing with them. They'll probably sit there really happy, feeling good, So then, when you accuse them of it, hey, your negativity, your psychic attacking me, and all that nonsense, most people wouldn't know a psychic attack if it hit them like a horse. You might be knocked over, but you wouldn't know why. But they want to blame. They want to make sure that the many irons that they have in the fire keep burning, and so all jobs get cheated from the integration of your spiritual consciousness with that materiality. A lot of people buy, how many people bought a house? That's pretty good. We're wealthy in that sense of the word. How many of you have paid that house off? There's a big difference in buying a house and owning a house. It's when we're by ourselves and we're thinking in our own mind and we can't trust ourselves. And you think, God, you know, why can't I trust myself? If you can't, it's nice to know that. Knowing you can't trust yourself, take that area right out of the direction of your life and put yourself in the direction of your purpose. Let me give you an example. People say, JR, do you trust yourself? I said, all except one area. They said, can you tell me what that is? I said, yeah, keeping my word. You start to think about it, and that just about covers everything, doesn't it? You let people know that. Well, I just did. But what have you heard me say over the years? Check out this information. Don't just believe it. If you hear it and it matches your experience, you can just tie it together. You own it then, because it's yours. If you say, well, you stirred me awake, fine, I did. Did I mean to? Probably not, because now you'll cause trouble. You know, when a baby's sleeping, they're beautiful. When they wake up sometimes, you wish they'd go to sleep. So you can sit and admire the presence of God in them, and when they wake up, you know it's a little demon. I've heard babies nursing, crying and screaming while they're still nursing. I looked at that kid and I said, there's talent. Other people might not see it that way. But why not see things as they are and then make them what you want? Why not do that? Why not, instead of holding the hidden agenda of, oh God, I hope that kid doesn't cry tonight, I'm going crazy without sleep, why not hold the one of peace be still? The child's going to be sleeping very calmly and peacefully all night. And if it doesn't, I will anyway. You know why you can't? Because that's flesh of your flesh. You think somehow you got ownership rights. You don't. You have responsibility rights, but not ownership. Nobody owns each other. They may get your body to move and do certain things, but they don't own you. Because all along that you're saying, yes, honey, inside of you going, no way. And when they think they've run, they shut up, and then they forget it because they think it's going to be done, and you know you're not going to do it. That's why I said, keeping my word is very difficult. Even to myself, I was going to get up in the morning and drink a gallon of water every day. not before I got up, but shortly after. And I realized I wasn't going to get up and walk to the bathroom to get the water. So when they asked me, I said, how you doing on the water diet? I said, I'm doing really well. How are you doing? Hidden agenda working there. I didn't want to look bad in her eyes. But she said, you're dehydrated. You can't be drinking that much water. I said, you are so right. It is amazing. She said, am I really right? I said, oh, you're right on target. She said, well, how much water do you drink? I said, 8-ounce glass. I said, that's just not once. I do that many times during the day. She said, but it's in the morning. You get it? Listen to me. It's in the morning. I know that. I'm laying in bed thinking I should go do that. Now comes the big mystery. God is no longer a mystery. Christ is no longer a mystery. Travelers are no longer a mystery. The silent ones still are. Because they won't tell you what's going on. But here's the biggest mystery. We know we should do something. We know how to do it. And we know it has to be done at a certain time. Here's the mystery. Why won't we do it? I looked in on it for quite a while. It took me 3 years. Well, it did. It takes a long time to find out what's truth and what's fiction because we're all so good at fictionalizing the truth. Or really truthalizing the fiction. See, probably one of the worst things we do is we get a thought, and it seems unique and it seems real, and then we think it's the truth. You just made a great jump of some sort of faith, but the cliff was too far, and now you're heading down. You know, we laugh out of nervousness because we're on target. I put the dot up there, then I drew the circle around it. A lot of us do that. We make meaning out of something, or rationalize it, or theorize it, so it makes it okay that we have done it. There has to be a purpose for your being here. Well, does there have to be a purpose for you being here? No, I don't think so, but there is. I don't think you have to, because there are fallen souls. There are falling angels. Lucifer is brighter than anything you can imagine. See, we think of Christ as the firstborn. Lucifer was the firstborn. He was the morning of the star. And what was Jesus? He was just a son. When I say just, not S-U-N, S-O-N. How did we manage to get so far away from the Spirit of God that they say, how do you know that you are my disciples, that you do love one another? How did we get so far from that? How come we marry people that we swear till death do us part? And then within a few years we're, well, before that, we shut off physical intimacy. Now, if there's a kid there, all your love is poured into that. That's a divorce waiting to take place. Unless both parents are pouring love into it. I'm of the firm belief, don't put a baby in a crib for its first 6 months. Put it in bed between you and your spouse. I'm a firm believer in that. And I'll tell you why. Because it feels and gets its information through feeling and through its sentience. And it knows what's going on. A lot of parents get divorced, and with some kids it wreaks havoc with them. And with others, they're glad it took place because now somebody can be happy. Then years, years later, 20, 25 years later, we're all hung up in our karmic life. And we say, it's because my mom and dad got divorced. And those enter the statistic books. And then some scientist gets together and correlates it all and puts out, this research proves this. The problem with it is the research was a lie to start with. Remember when I was talking earlier about we feel people looking at us and we feel our skin crawl, or we look around, we know we're being looked at. We're being affected by the viewer. Now, scientists a few years back said that when they looked through microscopes at various kind of physical entities, that the mere idea or presence of looking through the microscope at them influences them. And a lot of people just said, that's poo-poo. In terms of that's not true. you guys are all quacks and frauds. And it's amazing how a lot of the quacks and the frauds of 1800s are now standardized allopathic medicine. And so we listen to the doctors, medical doctors primarily, because their tunnel is allopathic medicine. Some others are branching open and they're starting to bring in other type of natural holistic approaches. And a couple of them are bringing back bedside manners. And just to know, just to know that the doctor came to see me at my home, that I was okay, is a healing factor. Because you go, they care for me. Most people don't care for each other that much because they really don't care for themselves. They'll care about themselves, that they look okay, but not, they don't care for themselves. Or they would watch their diet. They would watch their nutrition. So what do? You start chasing after, out there, the integrity that is needed in here. You make yourself one in the spirit. These diseases cannot stay in its presence. Long time ago, I was teaching school, and I worked coaching also. And the head coach was really a nut for health foods. And all the other teachers around would go, hey, how's the coach? You know, is he eating his apple today, or is he eating his carrot? I said, you know, I don't watch what he shoves in his body. Then the guy died of a heart attack. And everybody said, see, being a vegetarian doesn't make you live longer. But being stupid doesn't make you live longer either. I mean, I would rather live long not being stupid, maybe not all that aware, but having health in my body, to have at least some joy, some happiness, something here. But the biggest criteria is, are you giving and receiving love into the integration of your being? If you look at somebody or a special person and you feel your heart moving towards them and you really want to be with them, you are. But the mind is always hungry. It wants more than to just look. It wants physical contact. And you all want that. And yet one thing won't let you do it. You know what you want. You know that you want it. You know how to go about getting it, and you won't do it. Why? Well, I tell you, one of the big theoretical reasons, the fear of rejection. Because if they reject you, you have nothing. It's over. Now comes the years of grief and sadness and bitter tears and gnashing of teeth and rending of cloth, trying to take it out on the material world. It's not going to come out in the material world. It's going to stay with you. It gets very, very difficult to try, and I'm using that word judiciously, to try and live a life with honor. Remember the part in the Bible that says, honor your mother and father, that your days may be long upon the earth. So people interpret that, which is my interpretation, that they've got to do things that their mother and dad will feel bad about. They must do what their mother and dad want them to do. Honor your mother and father. I said, son, go to bed. You're not honoring me. That's not what that means. That's called direction and punishment. It means do that in your life that is honorable. And that honors your mother and your father. And a lot of things we do is to dishonor them, meaning you were not a good mother and father, and you didn't give me the discipline, the direction, the support, the pushing forward. You just love me so much, you let me do whatever I wanted to, and that's not how I grow. That's spreading yourself far, far too thin. Now, what happens if you get one of those little prodigal geniuses This does not apply to that. They're a special case. You have to get special parents to handle them. And sometimes the parents they got are not special parents. They're going to raise those kids like they were raised, and you look at them and you say, no way. Then we call for the cultural justice. In our culture, people are respected. We're unique. I mean, look at us. We come from so many different places and occupations. And yet, there's the prevailing current in here of spirit of loving. I feel it go out to you because I feel it when it comes back. The other day when I was flying on the airplane, I talked to a gentleman. I was on my way to the restroom, and he said, it's probably the same old thing. They all say, what do you do? And I said, well, right now I do the toilet. And he started laughing. So when I came out, he was watching for me. He says, what are you doing now that you're out of the toilet? I said, going to my seat. And he said, you know what I'm asking. I said, of course I knew what you're asking. You want to know what I'm doing, what kind of work I do, and if there's anything you can learn from it. He says, yeah, in a word. And I said, no, that was about 10 words. And he said, are you a comedian? I said, yeah. And he said, do you tell jokes? I said, no, I'm just funny to look at. He said, there's this strange thing that's with you. I said, strange, like my shirt on wrong or something? He goes, no, it's not that. It's not on you, it's like around you. And I said, well, is it like a light or an energy? He goes, yeah. So I said, either one or both? He says, well, it's a light, but it's energy because I felt it. When you walked by, I could feel you coming before you walked by my seat. I said, well, that's nice. And see, I knew I was coming to the place where this is going to take 30 minutes and we're going to land in 10. And so we're going to all get balled out. We're not going to get the information and it's just going to be screwy. So I decided to be screwy and just said a few things. And he says, what's your name? And I said, John Roger. He says, oh, you're the John Roger. I said, no, I'm just a John Roger. And so, he laughed a little bit, like cute chuckle. And he said, I've heard about you. And I said, well, what's your name? He told me. I said, I don't know you from anybody. And he just started laughing. He says, you're very funny. I said, thank you. But it was interesting that people, and this happened often, I'm sure it's happened to a lot of you people, when people say, what do you do? What is this that comes from you? How many of you ever had that? That's real. That's integrity. That's when you're together. And you don't have to go to try to, if you try to influence somebody, you've moved out of your integration. And you'll move right from the integrity. But if you stand there and you hold it without going, because as soon as you do this, you've now gone into the personality ego and you're out there entertaining. Maybe it's not entertainment, but it should be. But it is interesting to know that people from around the world, and I've been around there, are recognizing this more and more. So I think we're looking for a groundswell of people coming awake and aware that what we have been ahead for in the last 25 years, a lot of people are catching up to us in 2 or 3 years. But very few are going to go into the movement of spiritual inner awareness as much as they'll go to like University of Santa Monica, because it's primarily a similar information. But what is really different is in University of Santa Monica, most of them there don't care where it came from. They just care that it works, and that's what they want right now. But you people are in the position of you want to know what's the source of this and how do I source it, because there's no need to go to a priest or a minister or somebody to try to get the source through them or through a priest or a however religious names we want to put on people, because we're not doing things in a religious name as we're doing them in God's name or the spirit name of God, which is love and light. And so if we can keep that thought going and bring it up much more often, you'll find out that things that you wanted before that you couldn't get will be being placed at your feet. They'll come to you and go, God, what's happening? I wouldn't ask that question, because when you find out that God has taken you under his wing, then he will say, you must love one another. And that's going to be the hardest thing that we come up against, is loving each other. And if we look at each other as when we, if you're spoused, where one yells at the other, most of the time people look at that as not loving. But if we can say that's just a prelude to love making, then that process becomes a loving interaction. The first one that can laugh and have a good laugh about what's going on will be the winner. The one who still wants to fight and hang on to their anger is losing all the way around. So you stay in the argument with them until you can try to get them to come through and see the humor of the relationship. It's probably not a ha-ha-ha-ha-ha humor as much as it's a lack of participation in the yelling, and more of a, well, would you like something to eat, or let's go do something, let's go for a walk. But what you want to do after an argument is bond, to rebond back again. And the way you rebond is if you put your hands on each other's shoulders and just look into each other's eyes and just say, I love you, in your mind. It will start to bring the light back in through the eyes. And as that comes through, you'll start to see the light come through them. And if you're the one that's carrying the big flame producer, then light your fire first if you have to. Don't wait for them. So make it a point that you're there and you're ready to go. And you'll start to find the relationship will come into a real harmonious oneness of the flame. At that point, you're going to become a keeper of the flame. This is a lot of responsibility, because if their flame goes down, you're to relight it. You're just, while they're angry, you scratch their back for them. I think one thing women like that men don't notice, they like to be laid down and have their head scratched. How many of you women like that? Look around, men. Now watch this one. How many men like to have that done to them? Look around, ladies. I mean, even if you don't have a lot of hair, you still want to scratch.
John Rogers' closing words were Beirush Beishan, which means the blessings already are. The blessings, the ideas, and the concepts which you've heard are just a small part of the abundance of material John Roger has shared with us over the years. If you would like a free book by John Roger, Journey of a Soul, call this number, 1-800-899-2665. You can send email to servicedesk@msia.org or write to That Which Is, Post Office Box 513-935, Los Angeles, California, zip code 90051-1935. This has been That Which Is with John Roger. Thanks for joining us.